So what does April 15th mean to you?
Why, I just open up my checkbook and fill it out and send it right into the government.
You
and
sound happy
yes,
about
indeed,
that.
I'm happy about
a bit
it.
Bit of yes. sarcasm.
Five figures this year.
A young girl I know is born on April 15th. She is lovingly referred to as the tax baby. Most of us see taxes as a chore. John Hockenberry clearly really enjoys them.
Oh, yeah.
Most people only enjoy them when they're finished.
Patriotic thing.
Filed on time. But there's some people who have really deep issues with paying a percentage of their income to, well, anybody, but especially not the government. And it's just about political suicide for a politician to propose raising taxes. Lately, anyway. Flashback to the campaign of 2008. Then Vice Presidential candidate Joe Biden said he thought paying taxes was a patriotic duty. And here's what Sarah Palin had to say in response.
That's not patriotism. Raising taxes is about killing jobs and hurting small businesses and making things worse.
So we hear something like that and we start to wonder, is there ever a time when it's okay to raise taxes? Ever? For that answer and more, we turn now again to Charlie Pierce, staff writer for the Boston Globe, a contributing writer to Esquire. Well, he's definitely going to have an opinion on it, isn't it? His book, Idiot America, appears in paperback in June. We also have with us Ajay Mehrotra. He's professor of law and history at Indiana University in Bloomington, Indiana. So, Charlie, you wrote this article about what you call the love-hate relationship with taxes. And you said that when Americans are hating on taxes, they're pretty much running away from what you called a ghost. What do you mean by that?
Well, I was speaking in reference to the people who will drive from Massachusetts to New Hampshire because New Hampshire, you know, as they say, tax-free Dover, New Hampshire, because New Hampshire has no sales
tax. Right.
And the fact was they were going to New Hampshire to buy groceries on which there are no sales taxes in Massachusetts either. But they didn't care because they had been sold this idea of tax-free Dover, New Hampshire. And so essentially they were running away from paying taxes that they thought they owed, but they really didn't. And I think that that's part of what's going on there is that taxes have become some sort of monument to what we call representational politics, in which it's not really the taxes. It's really what you believe in your mind they represent, which is essentially my money going to things that I don't like.
So you kind of describe this sort of illusions that people have around taxes, but it ends up in real political decisions. I mean, taxes played a big role in the loss of Ted Kennedy's long-held Democratic senatorial seat in Massachusetts.
Well, they played something of a role. What played a monumental role is the fact that the Democrats ran an ice sculpture. But I think that it was more of a taxes as kind of part of this kind of general revulsion toward, you know, what we've come to see as the government, forgetting of course that in this country, because of the way we're chartered, the government is us.
Well, let's turn now to our next guest, legal historian Ajay Mehrotra. And I got to ask you, Professor, has it always been like this? Has it always been political suicide for a politician to propose raising taxes? Haven't there been times when that's been necessary and it's been accepted?
I think there has. I think you're absolutely right. If you look throughout American history, especially during national crises, are moments when politicians and our political leaders find the political will to actually ask for tax hikes. And in fact, the American public, as concerned citizens, oblige. It's no coincidence that the birth of the modern income tax is traced back to the Civil War. It was Lincoln and Secretary Chase to fund the Union Army who initiated the first income tax. And it's also no coincidence that it was ratcheted up during the two World Wars. And so President Wilson and Treasury Secretary McAtee, initially, all politicians are fearful of this. I mean, there is this concern of overtaxing and distorting decision-making, but certainly during moments of national crisis and thereafter, I mean, there's also this ratchet effect we see throughout American history where taxes are raised to fund a war or to deal with some sort of national crisis. I mean, Social Security during the Great Depression is another example. And then there's this ratchet effect afterwards in which the rates remain relatively high. So if you look at the classic period, World War II, when FDR demands sacrifice from the American people, he says, put put politics aside and pay taxes to fund what will be one of the greatest war efforts in American history, there's a ratchet effect. Marginal rates skyrocket to 94%, and they stay relatively high for quite a while. So there has been lots of opportunities in American history in which our political leaders have asked for tax hikes, and the American public, to go back to Charlie's idea of this myth, have agreed to pay them.
But there's also, I mean, the Tea Party is trying to channel what they call hundreds of years of anger over taxes, beginning with the original Tea Party, the real Tea Party in Boston, where they were protesting taxation without representation. Has this sort of anger over anti-taxes, has that been longstanding?
I think there has been some anger towards taxes, no doubt about that. I mean, it's as Charlie has suggested, there's this ambivalence among the American people. But if you go back to the American Revolution, I think Charlie mentions this in his piece, and certainly the early colonial historian T.H. Breen had a wonderful piece in the Washington Post not long ago, explaining just how misinformed the Tea Party really is about the origins of the Revolution and what was the Boston Tea Party. In fact, it was never a protest against taxes per se. It's always been a protest against taxation without representation. It's that latter part that's been critical to the birth of our republic and to what exists today. I mean, I think Charlie mentions in his piece how a lot of local governments in Massachusetts are passing referendum to raise local property taxes to finance schools. That's a classic example of taxation with representation. And so I think the Tea Party has built upon this ghost that Charlie's called, or this myth of American tax protest. Certainly there's been some of it, but under the right conditions, under the right kinds of political leadership, people have been willing to pay taxes.
That's A.J. Mehrotra, a professor of law and history at Indiana University in Bloomington, Indiana. Charlie?
Yes.
Have you filed your taxes yet?
We have something of a dispensation here because of the flooding we had. So we have an extra month.
Lucky Charlie.
Nice. Charlie Pierce, staff writer for the Boston Globe, a contributing writer to Esquire. His book, Idiot America, will appear in paperback in June. He joined us from Massachusetts.
Don't Thanks go after you. Charlie, IRS. It was the flooding. Okay?
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.